Hi, this is Robert Kiyosaki, and you're listening to Capital Hacking with Josh and Eric. This is the most important thing you can listen to today.
On today's episode of Capital Hacking.
Whether it's your business or whether it's investments, if you have one source of income right now, you're putting yourself, your family, your business, and your investments at severe risk. Most people, unfortunately, have found that out, where they lost one income source, and now they have their back up against the wall. So here's what I would share with your listeners right now, is figure out how, if you are employed, figure out how you can start a side hustle. If you have a business, figure out how you can add more income streams within that business. If you have investments, look at where they are, look at how diversified they are, look at potentially how that industry will get disrupted, and diversify those income streams.
Here's the problem.
I have a dream.
With great power comes great responsibility.
I can do this all day.
Zip, don't get scared now.
They may take our lives, but they'll never take our freedom.
Cinderella story out of nowhere.
It's in the hole.
That the only thing we have to fear is fear itself.
Capital Hacking begins in 3, 2, 1.
Welcome back to your personal audio mastermind, the Capital Hacking community. It's your good buddy, Josh. It's an absolute ridiculous honor to be at the table with you right now, or in your Tesla driving. I'm sitting right there next to you on your iPhone. Anyway, today we get to have a treat together because I'm listening to it right now. So if you're listening to it in your car, I'm also listening to it in my car. Why? Because I loved this episode. This is with MC Laubscher, our good buddy, the Cash Flow Ninja, and our dear friend, Eric Cabral, who we recorded this before the end of the year, 2021. So if there's anything that's a little out of date, hey, please forgive us. One of our glitches in our computers dropped this file down a little bit and we lost it until now. It's like the discovered audio file from 2021. And this is a treat. Oh gosh, man. I love how this was like as if Indiana Jones found this archived file, but he didn't. We did. And now it's your turn. Because MC Laubscher at that time had just released a book that it was already pretty popular. It's called the 21 Best Cash Flow Niches, or I say niches. And we were chatting about it because we were digging in on a few of the niches. So if you're excited to find out 21 plus ways to gain cash flow into your life, your family's life, your business's life, then this is the show for you. But we don't get through all 21 of them. So right now, stop, drop, and roll. Open up your iPhone, go to Amazon.com or CashflowNinja.com and buy the 21 Best Cash Flow Niches by MC Laubscher, our dear friend, our partner. And I'm so honored to be part of this. Eric and I had a great time. And I just hope that you and I can build upon the world-class success of this book. I mean, it became a really popular book. I don't know, thousands and thousands and thousands of people got this book since the last time we met up with MC. And the surprise hit in this book is there's two of the secrets are about accountable equity. Yes, the lady Melanie and I, my dear wife, I should say, have the commercial that shows up in the middle of our episode here today. Welcome to Accountable Equity. Melanie invites you into the community. Guess what? MC Laubscher is part of that community. And two of the book are about accountable equity assets. One is the resort hospitality niche, which shows multiple cash flow and how fast that can grow your wealth. And two is the efficient income fund. That's right. He loves it. We love it. He's a partner in that. If you want to find out some of the niches that relate to yours truly, your dear buddy Josh, in the show notes right now, our team put a link to a recorded webinar on the Efficient Income Fund 4, where you get to optimize your investments for maximum tax strategy and maximum cash flow. MC calls it one of his bonus niches. Oh, gosh, I'll tell you what, I can't wait to hear the rest of the show. Enjoy.
Welcome back to Capital Hacking. Very serious day here in live, in-person
Josh McCowan here. Hey, Eric, how you doing, buddy?
Oh, welcome, and thank you. We are all here and happy, and so good to be back.
You said we, so I guess you're talking about the person in the green room. Today's episode is live. We have not done a live in studio in over a year. I don't think I've been here.
Wow. I mean,
it's a beautiful studio. Remember, we in the olden days, for those loyal listeners, we always were in this studio, and things were even more lively back then.
Yeah.
I can't believe it. So today we brought back an absolute veteran, superstar, all-star member of the Capital Hacking community from the beginning. Part of the genesis of the name came from one podcast I listened to. He happened to be on, and they chatted all about the definition of capital. And I'm like, that's the name of my show when we launch our show. And his name today is the world-famous cash flow ninja MC Lobster.
Awesome to be here, guys.
Man, damn, you're good at that.
Wait, that was on the board. That
no,
wasn't
it
me.
Wasn't on
yeah,
the board?
That was a sound effect.
You did that for real, right? Anyway, MC's here because we love him. And he has something really important we're going to get to and we're going to cover today that I hope all of us take advantage of. So just spoiler alert, you cannot let go of this podcast until you get something from MC. And not just his good looks and dashing sense of humor were... good sense of humor and dashing looks. No, MC, welcome back to the show. What have you been doing for the last year?
Boy, 20 months just flew by, huh? I looked at how the world just basically went 10 years into the future in the space of 2 months.
Yeah.
It's been nuts. It fast-forwarded. So a lot of the things were already there, like the success of this show. It was when you started, it was already there. It just, we needed another 20. The universe needed 20 months to catch up with you guys.
That boy's good.
I knew you guys were going to crush it.
Thank you, man.
But no, it's been a lot of fun. You know, busy with a lot of stuff, projects, investments, cash flow, always keeping busy. So,
you know, you have a cool question at the beginning of your show, and I want to rephrase it as best I can. It says, MC, for those who are not as familiar with your background, could you share with our audience and our listeners? Could you give a summary? Because I know it, but I do know there's really a dynamic background and professional work you do today. I want to make sure everybody knows that right off the top.
So I'm an investor and entrepreneur. Most people know me for Cashflow Ninja. I'm the creator and host of the Cashflow Ninja podcast. We I've been doing that for about 6 years, which that show started about 6 years ago. And now we've been downloaded and listened to in over 180 countries, millions of downloads.
Wow.
It's now turned into an education company, and we're launching a lot of educational programs and books. And then I'm also the president of Producers Wealth, which is a virtual company that I started in 2015, where we help people create their own banking system through an insurance strategy, which I continue to share. That was a virtual company, as I mentioned. And in 2015, very different having a virtual company then and doing consulting all over the country through, I think it was Skype. It was even prior to Zoom than today. And also, I'm the principal at not a high school, but Producers Capital Partners, which we raise a lot of money for projects that we're passionate about, and we share how people can invest outside of Wall Street for cash flow.
By the way, you slipped that little joke in there. You're a principal, but not at a high school. I like it. So you run a capital group, an investor club.
Yep.
I mean, hundreds of people, like accredited investors, have joined your. How do you join that, real quick? If I wanted to go there right now, get on your list.
Yeah, you go to cashflowninja.com/cashflowclub, and you'll be able to. Yeah. See all of the many things that we're involved with.
What I'm honored to say is that people like us have been able to present to your club, and your listeners and your people, they're really well educated in this new way of looking at capital and the new way of buying private opportunities and not just trusting the Wall Street narrative. So almost everybody that listens to your show thinks outside the box, is really open-minded to, you know, really old-fashioned investing. Even though today they call it quote unquote alternative investing, which means either what, real estate or private investing in funds or private projects, you're really good at explaining the various things. And one niche you have is crypto. Now, I want to tease that. You have this niche of crypto, but we're going to get to that. Man, there's so much content here, Eric. I know you're dying to ask a big old scary question before we get into crypto.
Yes, we're going to get into crypto. And of course, right now I'm actually going live here on Facebook just as the bros chat and talk. But I know the audience is very, very excited about about crypto. And I do want to actually tackle and get your thoughts on how that relates to real estate. Right. Yep. Because I know that there are early conversations, and Josh and I had a conversation with a man named Ed that was talking about leveraging crypto to buy assets, like physical, like assets in buildings and real estate. But before that, I do want to ask MC about something personal.
Oh, yeah, please.
Oh, here we go.
Yes. The cocktail of your choice. No, I'm just kidding. I know you like gin and tonic. But
it's the drink that conquered the world.
you mentioned and you alluded to the State of the Union, right? And yep. We don't have to get into that.
Right.
But I know that you gave a presentation recently, right, in Lancaster, and you broached some topics, right, in terms of like what we can do, how we can protect ourselves. So is there something from the presentation that comes top of mind there that you shared? Because you brought a cash flow ninja that I hadn't seen before.
Yeah.
And I was like, I like this ninja. He's bringing the pain. So if you could just like, not so painful, but maybe a little massage.
This is a complicated question.
Is it super complicated? Because I know you've got it.
No. I think so. One of the things that I've become really passionate about, especially over the past 20 months, is it's really renewed my passion to help people become self-reliant. During this time, and to become independent and to become free, because I've seen a lot of changes that are playing out in the world. So it's really re-energized myself for this purpose and sharing as much information of how people can actually do that, because we all see all of the many issues that are out there. You know, like, for example, we're in the fourth industrial revolution right now. Most people are still thinking in terms of the information age. Then it became the attention age. And we're in the fourth industrial revolution. So it is artificial intelligence. It is machine learning. It is 3D printing. It is the Internet of Things, 5G, all of these many things that will disrupt and consistently and constantly disrupt the world that we are in. Then we're also amidst the Great Reset, which we have taken for granted a lot of systems and structures, which are in the process of resetting and collapsing, just because that's what's been happening for centuries, right? They've outlived their usefulness, so they're going away. So there's great change, and the world's gone through these periods of change, but it's never gone and happened so quickly. You know, when we went from the agricultural age to the industrial revolution, that was a big shift, massive change. Everybody all of a sudden that were working on the farms had to move to big cities and work in factories, and they had to be retrained, reskilled, and so forth. But this was a gradual kind of change. Changes here are it's happening instantly, and it's happened weekly. The world this week right now already is not the same world that was last week, just by one or two things that already started to happen. So one of the things that people can do, you know, I have three things that I share that people can do right now to not only protect what they have, but to position themselves in times of change and chaos to be on the right side of the greatest wealth transfer in human history. Because you could get doomy and gloomy about a lot of things and that'll suck you down. But as an entrepreneur, all these problems, these challenges, these pain points that people have present opportunities. So how do you present yourself to be on the right side of the greatest transfer of wealth in human history? The first thing is you got to go Noah. You got to build your ark. So by building your ark, you need a strategy. You need a strategy for yourself, your family, your business, and your investments of a changing environment. So a big thing to include within this strategy is looking at diversifying. And when it comes to income, which is cash flow, that's what the Cash Flow Ninja is all about, independent sources of income. Okay. Whether it's your business or whether it's investments, if you have one source of income right now, you're putting yourself, your family, your business, and your investments at severe risk. Most people, unfortunately, have found that out, where they lost one income source, and now they have their back up against the wall. So here's what I would share with your listeners right now is figure out how, if you are employed, figure out how you can start a side hustle or tap in or add an ancillary or a symbiotic stream of income. If you have a business, figure out how you can add more income streams within that business. If you have investments, look at where they are. Look at how diversified they are. Look at potentially how that industry will get disrupted and diversify those income streams. So that's the first thing. You got to go, Noah. You got to build your ark. You got to do it every day. But you need a strategy. You need a strategy, not just, not just tactics. Number two is go tribal.
Oh.
You got to find like-minded people that see the world similarly to you do, that share your beliefs. If your core belief is focused on freedom, individual liberty, and so forth, you have to connect with those and you have to find those. If you can't find them in your backyard, you can find them online. And you have to connect with them because it's going to, I mean, in times of great change and chaos, you're going to feel like, am I the only person seeing all of this stuff going on? Am I going crazy? You need people to help you stay sane. So you got to find your community. You got to find your tribe. And they're available. They're there. That's the second thing. So the first thing, going Noah, build your ark. The second thing, community, find your tribe, go tribal. The third thing, decentralize. So when the Titanic was sinking, you could either party and throw one heck of a party as the ship goes down and dance away and play the piano, or you could probably figure out how to get into a life raft. So if you're seeing a lot of ships that are sinking, and there are many ships, I mean, you pick one, they're all sinking. Find life rafts, you do it through decentralize. So when it comes to money, you can decentralize through crypto, which you've already mentioned, through gold and silver. There's many different things that you can do. The banking and financial system is at, I mean, it's we're at the tail end of it existing in this shape or form. How do you decentralize? Well, you can create your own banking system through certain insurance products, which we share at yourownbankingsystem.com. When it comes to food, you think that there's going to be food shortages with supply chain disruptions right now? Of course there is. I mean, this was something that if you said this 20 months ago, you would be considered crazy. So how do you decentralize? Well, you from the food sources, well, you've got to have some emergency food. It's just like insurance, like your car insurance, which you hope that you never, ever get to use.
That's a great point.
I hope I never get to eat my emergency food ever. It doesn't look that tasty. But guess what? If that's the only thing there, I'm going to eat it, right? And then also figure out how you become self-reliant, grow your own food, have access to a farmer, be in a community where you're closer to food sources. So those are just some examples. Health. Hey, you know, one thing that I try to personally do is shake the COVID-19 pounds, right? So try to get healthy in as best physical shape as possible, mental. You know, a lot of people are struggling with mental issues, being locked down, being forced to make certain things that they're not aligned with personally, or their values are aligned with. And also spiritual, connect with your creator. You have to be mentally, physically, and spiritually as strong as ever, because through great changes, if you're not physically, mentally, and spiritually strong, you're not going to see the abundance of opportunity which these changes will bring. So those are the three things that I will share. And I shared at that conference, you know, I just gave a different perspective and a different take because, you know, one of the lessons that I've learned from a mentor is that, you know, you don't want to be too fluffy about everything, and everything is great and everything is awesome and it's just positive and come on, dude, don't be that negative person. No. When you're sitting on a train track, you want to realize, number one, that you're sitting on the train track. And then number two, you're like, maybe I should get off the train track. And then number three, you go, now I'm off the train track. I'm not sitting on the train track. Now I get to see the world for what it is. And guess what? You're going to start to see opportunities. I can already see, you know, just in those areas of decentralization that I named you, think of the opportunities with money investing right now. Think of the opportunity within banking and financial, because people are decoupling. There's a lot of folks in crypto that's already completely decoupled. Think of the opportunities with food. You think food entrepreneurs are making money? You know, another thing that I also share with folks, because the self-reliance thing comes up a lot in our community. It's like, what if the electrical grid goes down? Well, then the electricity is down, right? So generators. Well, then your fridge and your freezer is probably down and you have a little limited time. So emergency food. What happens when the electricity goes down, cell phone service goes down, and the grid goes down, which most folks would have said, well, this is kind of crazy talk, MC. And then Texas happened. Boom. So what happened then? Well, you need home security. How to protect yourself and your family. And entrepreneurs are already seeing it. They're crushing it in home security systems, providing the things that people need to protect their families. There are people that have online programs, former Navy SEALs, former special ops guys, of sharing how to secure your home. Most people, it's the complete opposite what most people think it is. I thought it was something completely different until I just watch their courses and I'm like, oh, wow, this is pretty cool stuff that they share.
Digging a moat.
Wow. So what would be one? Dig a moat? No. crocodiles in it. What? Crocodiles?
They're called alligators.
Alligators.
Crocodiles.
They're both effective.
Yeah, they are.
One is more, apparently. No. But can you just say one element of the security idea that was surprising?
So you have to have a home plan system in place. And if you're a South African listening to this, you have it down and you understand that there's certain things that you setups that you have in a home. So there would be a gate. So if somebody's invading the home, what do you do? Does your family have a plan? Where do you go to? So it's moving the family from one area in the house to another area. And then being in a position of strength to actually combat an intruder, where most folks, it's just so funny, they share this stuff on social media, but people are like walking through the house, you know, armed, and the Navy SEAL guy was like just laughing. He's like, dude, one guy cannot secure a house. I'm a SEAL. I can't secure a house when I'm just walking through with a rifle in my own house. So anyway, so that's the thing. But I think the core message Yeah, the core message here is for business owners and investors. The lessons that you can take from that little wild turn that I just took into a different world is have a plan and have a strategy and prepare for anything and everything.
Hi, this is Melanie McCallan. Josh and I are just so grateful for the many investors who already joined us at Accountable Equity. Accountable Equity is so much more than a capital group. It's really a community of accredited investors that want to learn and grow together. I just want to personally invite you, if you want to find out more about this type of investment and see if it's right for you and your family, please visit us at AccountableEquity.com.
Hey, it's Hal Elrod, author of The Miracle Morning, and you're listening to Capital Hacking with Josh and Eric. Enjoy.
May we go back a moment? First of all, hopefully those listeners who are hearing, I mean, one of the cool things is you have an accent, and there's a reason why you think the way you think because of your accent. We're going to get into that. But before we go into the background that helped you see the forest through the trees, can you just remind us what the fourth industrial revolution? I'm going back 5 minutes here to my vocabulary word. We're in the fourth industrial revolution, my quote of MC. Can you just tell us what the fourth industrial revolution is and what was the third?
So the third one was computers and smartphones and so forth. And we were basically living online. Now we're taking that to another level. We're taking technology to, I mean, the stuff that we're already seeing, we just take it for granted. Think of AI. I mean, everybody knows what AI is right now. When you jump into on the internet and you're just on a website, do you get something that pops up and says, hey, can I help you? I'm here to help you. It's a robot talking to you.
Right. You know? That's a good point.
Yeah. So you're already seeing little snippets of it, but we haven't seen it in full, really maxed out.
So that's the fourth revolution is artificial intelligence.
It's in connecting everything. We will all be connected. So Elon is already positioned, by the way, with these electrical vehicles and Tesla. That's all going to be connected. The reason why we don't have driverless vehicles yet is because we don't have the full rollout of 5G yet. In certain areas in China, when they do, there was someone in my community that I talked to. He's like, dude, I just sat on a bus and there was no driver. Mm-hmm. It's a driverless bus. So they have them already.
Oh, yeah.
It's just it's not here yet. It's in certain part where they're testing it
out.
It's
in L.A.
It's in L.A. There you go.
They have taxis driving around. And I think of, like, Total Recall. And you're like, hi, Jimmy the taxi cab. And I'm like, and you get in. It's not a real person, right? But, yeah, they're picking people up already and driving them to their destinations. It's all automated. But I do want to bring up a conversation that you and I had because I was fortunate enough to sit in the room with Dan Sullivan, who's your coach. And the strategic coach.
Yep.
A little plug there. And he talked about potentially what would be the fifth, right, is medicine. Right?
Yes.
And how his example was that there is a child somewhere in an incubator that, you know, is dying. And potentially there could be an incubator with a heart that's DNA compliant for that child. Right, and you and I started. I mean, we can go down rabbit holes.
Whoa. Yes. You mean they farmed the heart without a body, or they stole it from a body?
They got the stem cells. I obviously don't know what I'm talking about here, but I'm just saying, from a very basic understanding, so the stem cells from the baby create a heart.
Yep.
That will grow and then potentially get to the point where it can be transplanted into the child. That's happening, bro. Like now with animals and things like that. So what do you feel? What do you think? Well, you know, how do you see all of that moving into the future? Like, should we be investing?
No, can I share with you quickly here? So right now, another thing that I talk about in my community is one of the recent, we use a framework called the Reset Framework. And one of the areas is society that we look at. And when you look at society, have we ever been more polarized?
And
there's a lot of reasons for that. But when it comes to these things too, right, there's a polarizing effect because one of the biggest trends, if you're a business owner and investor, because of those trends, the polarizing opposite effect is people returning to natural medicine and homeopathic medicine.
Yep.
So the thing is, it's very important. Like, people think that these things don't matter when it comes to money, wealth, business, and investments. This is everything. You have to understand humans. You have to understand how humans think. You have to understand human psychology. You have to understand the history of us, how we thought through the different ages, and how we react to certain things. There are polarizing ideas and trends which will put people at a different spectrum. So as these things are going, like you just mentioned, kind of crazy the one way, the other way is, you know, and my family and I, we use homeopathic practitioners. You know how tough it is to get into one right now?
Mm-hmm.
They are booked solid because of the polarizing environment that's out there. So when you see these trends, when you see, you know, a lot of the technology trends too, you're going to see polarizing effects to that. Think about food, right? Food has gone full farming and grown, and, you know, we now have labs growing meat and all that kind of stuff. What's the polarizing effect of that? Well, people still want to eat healthy, nutritious, organic food. And we saw a movement where the boom of, like, factory farming for food and animals was the biggest boom for organic food at the same time. Why? Polarizing effect, right? So when most people went one way, other people decided, well, I'm not into that. I'm going the other route. So if you're an entrepreneur or an investor, you have to understand how the world kind of works with frameworks and models and understand that this polarization is going to place a lot of people here, but also a lot of people on the opposite of that. So yes, can you invest in those technologies? Yes, but even a bigger play might be the anti-play on that. You know, like, should you have invested in, Kraft Foods? Or would you have been better suited to invest in a local organic farm, an organic food company?
Yeah.
You know? You guys, okay, so I think that was so hard for me to stay with because a lot of that was new to me, listeners. So
no Josh left behind. Let's bring you back.
I was like, whoa, where do we go with that? Got this baby up on two wheels, turn around a big curve. I want to make sure that people who are new to MC Loungeshare start to realize, wait a second, is this guy just coming up with these ideas? And no, I want to go one step deeper. There was one more vocabulary word, but every time I ask you guys a vocabulary word, it goes for 10 minutes. No. What is the greatest transfer of wealth in human history? You talk about that in every podcast I listen to. I listen to your show, Cashflow Ninja. Just for us listeners, what did you mean when you said that?
So there's a game being played right now, and a lot of people don't know there is a game, which is it's a pretty sucky position to be into. Mm-hmm. If you're inside of a video game, but you don't know you're inside of a video game. Yeah, so we're in a game right now, and it's the game of capital and wealth, as I shared. There's a game being played, and you need to understand the rules of the game. You need to understand the players, how the game is being played, and then you need to understand strategies and tactics of the game, because money is being moved from the one area of society into another area of society. And as I mentioned before, in a lot of the content that I shared, is we essentially have a Hunger Games society being formed right now because of this unawareness of the game that's being played. So here's the game summarized very, very quickly. It's and I think I shared this before with you, Josh. There's a effect called the Cantillon effect by Richard Cantillon. And what Richard Cantillon did is he saw that, wow, that when there's newly created currency units in an economy, people closest to center of influence and power, like the king, the knights, you know, the royal families and so forth, guess what? They get access to the newly created currency units first. Shocker. Does that kind of ring a bell to what's happening right now? So people closest to the central centers of power, like hedge funds, big Wall Street banks, banks and so forth, they're all closest to the money. So they get access or the power. So they get access to the newly created currency units first. So what do? They position themselves in hard assets. And then they also buy businesses. And by the way, they leverage more capital, collateralize it to borrow even more money than what they already have. So they really capitalize on that. And then as money makes its way through the economy, what starts to happen? Well, the assets that they own increase in value. The businesses that they own, their products and services, the prices of them go up. And then so they clearly benefit, the folks at the top of this game of capital and wealth. Then how does the money get to the middle class? Well, money works through the system and then heads into corporations. They pay employees, and then all of a sudden now they get access to the money. What do they do with it? Well, they buy houses, they max out a 401k and so forth. So they're okay. They still own some assets, but they get eaten alive by the price inflation. Yeah. And of course, unfortunately, the folks, the poor, by the time the money gets to them, you're completely priced out. And the middle class is starting to feel that. How many, you hear now that, hey, the middle class is being priced out of homes. The middle class is being priced out of these assets. It starts to feel them. The bottom is already completely priced out. They see the prices of everything skyrocketing, and they see the prices of everything that they need to survive, whether it's food, whether it's renting a place somewhere, whether it's clothes. It becomes almost unaffordable for them. So money is transferring to the top and continue to transfer. And the massive transfer actually happening is from the middle class. That's where all of the buying power and the value of their assets are being siphoning to, because they're essentially being priced out.
You know, I mean, just to put a comment on that and maybe an interpretation, it's so contradictory to what we hear in the public narrative, which is that we're moving towards a more equal society. We're trying to equal everybody out, and the top 1% should not get money and they should be taxed. But yet it's the top 1% that you're describing are basically aggregating the hard assets, which long-term benefit from price increases, like to the land and the businesses and the infrastructure. And then us middle-class and low-income people are paying more for those hard assets. So we're losing spending power is what I'm hearing you say, but the asset owners are growing in inflation. So you're saying really, even though from the surface it looks like the media is telling us we should push everything to be equal, it seems like you're saying that is just a cover over a non-equal system.
Everything that they're doing is the complete opposite of leveling the playing field. Sending money directly from the government to people only punishes the low-income people.
Now, just explain that real quick, because, by the way, I think you're explaining things well. It's just complicated. It's a little complicated.
It is, and because of all the different, I would say, I mean, there's so much propaganda, so you have to cut through this. But essentially, when money is created, the currency units are newly created currency units in the economy. Like I said, it first goes to the big banks, it goes to the corporations, it goes to the hedge funds. They get access to it first. So they position an asset which they know will increase, right? So then the and they buy assets with the money. So now they're sending direct payments, stimmy checks, or whatever you want to call them, to, let's just say, the low-income folks or even folks in the middle class. And what do they do with it? Well, they buy food. They pay their rent. They buy clothes. So they spend.
Yeah, they don't buy assets.
They don't buy assets. But yeah, the pool of money increased. Like in 2020, guys, if you're listening to it, the currency supply of the United, 25% of all dollars ever created was created in 2020.
And I listened to you say that on the show, and I wanted to just, because I'm just learning here. so I think, how did that happen? How did that much currency? Because it's not like there's a mint out there printing dollars and coins.
Digital, all done digitally.
But I mean, it was through the transaction of selling debt, right?
Yes. Yeah. I mean that we could talk about that for hours. But essentially, we are in a fiat currency standard. By the way, happy birthday! We just had 50 years of the fiat currency birthday on August 15th. August 15th, 1971, Richard Nixon took the world off the gold standard, and all currencies became fiat currencies, which means it's not backed by anything. It's created by fiat, which is a decree, and it's enforced by legal tender laws in a country. So this has been 50 years of it. So nothing is backed by anything, just confidence. Confidence in governments. And if you have any confidence in any government right now, I'll sell you a bridge to nowhere. So essentially, they just created money out of thin air, which is done digitally. It's not even, you don't actually have to print the dollars. But essentially, that has increased all of this money. And that's why you've seen massive, massive price increases in real estate. Have you ever seen real estate going this wild? That's why you've seen the stock market booming. That's why crypto, look at what's happening in the crypto market. It's also an anti-fiat kind of play. You've seen money go into all of these asset classes. So the people that own the assets, they won big time. Because there's winners and losers in every game, right? And unfortunately, nobody's going to tell you who the winners and losers are. They're just going to say, we need a more equal society. No, that's not how you create it. You create a more equal society if you let the market figure out and let the free market flourish. If you rig markets by creating all this currency and not sharing with people how the game works, the people that know how it works win. I mean, imagine you play against Michael Jordan and you don't know the rules of basketball. Do you have any shot? Yeah. You don't.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Now, do you have a question?
No, go ahead.
You know, Eric and I are trying to make sure we have bated breath here. We have pages of notes. So, listen, I do think we should create some context, and then we should get to your big thing you came here to talk about. The context is South Africa.
Yes.
So just in brief, you were part of a society that totally shifted during your life, and so you were able to see a level of affluence growing up become a lot of chaos.
Yes.
Is that a good analogy? And how would you paraphrase what you learned from that transition?
Yeah, I think right now I'm in a position to help a lot of people because of my experience as a young man. So I lived in South Africa during turbulent change. You talk about change and radical change, chaos, uncertainty, a polarizing society, civil unrest, violence. I mean, you name it. Currency crisis. We had everything. So I grew up in an apartheid regime in South Africa, a totalitarian government in South Africa. Went through all those changes as a young man, and I saw, you know, when I was 14, 15 years old, that this is all, I mean, this is all a facade. It went from, you know, this is how the world works, this is your history, to, by the way, everything that was told to you a year ago is completely wrong. This is actually how the world works. And this was actually your history. And I saw it as a gift. At the time, I was very confused as a young man. You're like, wait a second, what just happened? It's like literally the core of your worldview, your paradigms, your belief systems, everything was ripped and pulled from underneath you. But it was a gift. gift that was handed to me because I became a truth seeker. I figured out the world wasn't as presented. I figured out it was all nonsense and fluff. And I started to see basically the world for what it is through different frameworks and seeking truth. And I continue to do that wherever it might take me. But I feel like going through that experience, it gave me a gift because I can share my experiences with a lot of folks because there are so many similarities. They say, you know, Mark Twain said, history doesn't necessarily repeat itself, but it sure does rhyme. And it's a similar kind of things when you see changing society. So I think it took me on a journey and which led to researching everything, whether it's history, whether it's economics, whether it's money, which I dove down the rabbit hole. I got my purple pill with Robert Kiyosaki's Rich Dad, Poor Dad, and then dove into G. Edward Griffin with A Creature from Jekyll Island, which I just recently been to Jekyll Island.
I just visited last week.
Yeah, it's pretty
you
unique place.
I did because you did.
Wow. Yeah,
we'll talk about that some other time.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, so, and I still try to do that in all areas.
Yeah.
You know, I just want to share one quick analogy here that I love that reminds me of the story that MC and it's a fascinating story. I mean, I've heard the details and, you know, what went on and your decision to leave and everything and what happened while you were transitioning. But anyway, I love the story of, you know, there's these two little fish, they're swimming in the ocean, right?
They're
having a good old time. And then this bigger fish swims by in the opposite direction. And he goes, "Water's nice today, isn't it?" Right. And then he swims away and the two little fish, you keep swimming. And then one looks at the other. He goes, "What the hell is water?" And I feel like MC's the big fish. Right. Like he's here and he's like, "Guys, you don't realize where you are. You're like in the greatest country ever." And the thing is, if you're born here or if you're not born here, but you've lost sort of the sight of how amazing this country is and how it was built. And on our forefathers and like everything that we stand for has been changing rapidly, like you pointed out. It takes people and individuals like you who have perspective to tell us who have been born here and we sort of like gotten very comfortable in our ways. Just wanted to point that out.
Well,
I
love that fish story. But that, you know, there's a comment that we've made about our admiration for those that come from difficult situations and from minority situations or other countries. I'm always a big fan of especially people that struggle with English. I'm always like, man, I'm amazed by you. You know, I'm always in awe of the people that are struggling through these challenges. And they tend to see the good in our country faster than us, born here. And then they often become very successful as entrepreneurs because they see what you said earlier, MC, is how much opportunity there is here.
It's incredible. I don't think people understand. If you're born in the United States or you live here, you won the lottery. I've not seen the opportunity for upward mobility as I have in the United States, and I've been fortunate to travel quite a number of countries. And that was the first thing that struck me when I got here 20 years ago in 2001.
As a rugby player, right?
Yeah,
I mean, you were here as a professional
rugby player. I just finished university where I had a scholarship playing rugby and I was playing rugby in a league over here. I just couldn't believe the upward mobility in this country and that people didn't realize the gift they have. And it's still there. It's still there. And, you know, the upward mobility is still there. You can come from any walk of life. I mean, the incredible people that I've met in this country from all walks of life, and sharing their stories and seeing where they are right now, it's just quite incredible. It's a very special place. It's a very unique and special place. And I think that you could still today, even through all of the chaos, I mean, there's so much opportunity. If you look at all the pain points, problems, and challenges, because that's what entrepreneurs do. We find solutions to those pain points, to those problems, and to those challenges that people have. And there's just desires and wants, of course, but that
you know what? I mean, MC, as we come to, you know, the show is getting closer to the end, but I don't want to go anywhere without saying I think we've gotten a great snapshot of why so many people are part of the Cashflow Ninja community, like me, and why so many people rely on you to just kind of add commentary and perspective and introduce new ideas. But there's one major new introduction that you've done that has to be Maybe your current crescendo. You've done so many things. So your current crescendo is something I'm very, very impressed by, and that's the 21 best cash flow niches, or you call them niches. I call them niches. The 21 best cash flow niches is the latest book you've put out. As a matter of fact, it's your first published book, correct?
Congratulations. Thank you. My first published book. And, you know, for any Seinfeld fans out there, there was this great Seinfeld episode where Cosmo Kramer had a book, a coffee table book about coffee tables.
It was actually a coffee table.
Exactly. It folded open and you could see a coffee table. So I thought, you know, with a brand as the Cashflow Ninja, how about creating a book or writing a book about cash flow that creates another stream of cash
really?
Flow?
Wait. You can make cash flow by the book? If it opens up, cash starts happening?
It's actually made from cash.
It's made from cash.
It's cash flow. You need to watch this on video. We're opening the book right now and there's cash flow in it. No, I'm very excited about it. The 21 best cash flow niches. It's creating wealth and the best alternative cash flow investments. So in there, in the book, essentially the number one question I've been asked is, MC, you've interviewed over 700 people. What are some of the most interesting and best investment opportunities that's been shared on your show for now 5.5+ years? So they kept coming up over and over and over. And I ran this idea past someone. I said, I think I've got an idea for a book. Sharing the best cash flow investment niches that has been shared on my show. And the gentleman looked at me and said, have you written the book yet? And I said, no, it's just an idea. He said, you should write that book. You should have already written that book. So it's the 21 best cash flow niches. And of course, I try to over-deliver, so it's actually 26. I throw in 5 bonus ones in there. But no one would buy a book if I shared the 26 best cash flow niches. So it's the 21 best cash flow niches, and it's all about alternative investments, different investments niches. My show, I cover business. I cover commodities. I cover paper assets. I cover real estate. I cover crypto and blockchain technologies. It's very broad and very wide. So we've had all kinds of things shared that's quite incredible. So if folks are interested in the book, you can get a copy of the book at cashflowninja.com/21niches. That's 21 niches. And when you buy a copy of the book, you also get a copy of a digital version of a book, the audio book, and then also a curated library of interviews discussing the niches, and then some bonus interviews that I did with guests. I kind of put it all together.
Yeah, I mean, it's like a shortcut or a fast way into this whole entire world that we talk about on Capital Hacking. I mean, on Capital Hacking, we're talking about ways to see how the code works. I mean, how do people that are not as smart as you, Billy Bob and Sammy Joe and Ruth... You're listening to this show. And honored to have you here, Ruth and Sammy. No, you know someone next door to you that is producing a lot of wealth, and you're like, but I'm smarter than my friend next door. Well, guess what? It's not so much that they're always smarter. They see the code. Mm. They see how wealth gets created by adding value through these niches. So you basically aggregated a fastest way for us to learn about 21 niches plus 5.
Yep. And another thing that I'll share too, because we talked about the fourth industrial revolution, right? So if you're a business owner, an entrepreneur, an investor, I'll give you this golden nuggets too about building a fourth industrial revolution business is two things that are very valuable that will continue to be valuable. One is intellectual shortcuts, and the second one is network shortcuts. Mm. So that is valuable and will continue to be valuable. Information was valuable 10 years ago. Nobody finds information that valuable because it's everywhere. There's too much information. They find folks that can condense that and pull it in a palatable offer together for them. They find that valuable. So the book, for example, instead of listening to over 700 episodes and figuring out which the best ones are, I put together the 21 best cash flow niches for you, and then I curated the library for you. So it's an intellectual shortcut. Instead of listening to over 5.5 years of my show, you get to buy the book and boom, there you go. And then the network shortcut in there, of course, is sharing some of the cash flow ninjas. that are involved in many of these niches too, that folks can see who That's else is point. In there, like Josh and Melanie McCallum.
Oh, wow. You just probably heard Melanie's commercial a second ago, listeners. So that young lady gets to be in this book.
Husband and wife ninjas.
Yeah, there you go. So, yeah, I think so if you're – just from a learning standpoint, and I continue to learn, I'm a lifelong learner and continue to try and figure things out on the spinning ball of dirt that we're all on, which is so crazy. But one of the things that I will focus my businesses on is those two things. So if you have a business, if you are an operator in an investment, that those are two things that people find very valuable and will continue to find valuable, even though there's Internet of Things, 3D printing, you know, machine learning, AI, robotics, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and when we get involved and we buy that product, which is the book, but then it comes with all these extra free things, you really are like stepping straight into your community. Like you said, one of the things you really want in the New World Order is community.
Yes.
You called it tribal.
Huge.
I always say it's the original way we learn anything, you know, by being around other people that teach us how to walk or teach us how to talk. And your community's, it's just a great group of people, usually very level-headed and calm and nice and sharing great wisdom with each other. I'm honored to always be a part of your community and on your show. And I think it's nice because right when they get into the book, they'll fast track years of hearing about how wealth is being created in these wonderful niches. But they'll also hear and get to know the community.
Absolutely. And please let us know that you heard about this book on this show,
Capital Hacking. Yeah.
Because you can buy it on Amazon. And then obviously screenshot us just the proof of your purchase and please tell me I heard you on the Capital Hacking show, and we'll give you access to the bonuses that I just mentioned.
Wait a second, is that a competition? Bonus. That means it's us versus the world, Capital Hacking. That means if
you
we can all
it.
Just buy it and tell him, please. That way we can win at this race.
But dude, what's the best place that you want people to go to find it and be a part of?
Cashflow Ninja. Cashflowninja.com is still our main hub. We've got everything on there, whether it's the 800 plus shows that we've recorded, whether it's some of the tools, the resources, the community. Everything is at cashflowninja.com.
Thank Love you, it. Buddy.
Thank
Appreciate
you so much
you,
for having
Thank you
me.
So much. Love you, man.
Wow. Wow, you made it, everybody. Thank you so much. Eric and I have always said that the people who join us at the end get the pearl and the prize.
Awesome. Folks, don't forget to like and share and love what we're doing on social media. If you want to hit up Josh, you want to hit me up, those are the best places to find us. We are always camped out and ready to talk and put the fire on.
We stand by on social media. But by the way, I know we're on Capital Hacking at Instagram, Capital Hacking on Facebook, and Capital Hacking on my personal favorite, LinkedIn.
Yes, because you can always find major players on LinkedIn. I know your favorite. These are some power players on LinkedIn always.
Gary Vee, he's my boy.
But Gary Vee also talks about the power of Instagram. So if you also want to find us there, we're doing a lot of really cool, sexy things on Instagram. So always you can reach out and DM us on Instagram if you have any questions or you want our time. We are always camped out and living there as well.
We will get right back to you. And just like we always say, you are now part of the team. This is a team that's here to add value to your life. And thank you for adding so much value to our life. Remember to share this podcast. Helps us grow it bigger and bigger each week. And we appreciate you posting a review on iTunes. You cannot believe how powerful that is.
Absolutely. Like and share this with anyone and everyone that you think it will add value to. And we appreciate all of that love and support. And do not forget, with great power comes great responsibility.
Woo!